It's time for the Artist Friends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I am an impressionist realist painter connecting with nature through my brush. I work in oil paint and watercolor, and I live in the countryside of Maryland's Eastern Shore, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. You can find me online at dianehuntstudio.com and on Facebook and Instagram at Diane Hunt Studio.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of Steve Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie. And I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and oils sometimes.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale. I'm the host of this podcast. I am a emerging representational artist. I do historic renderings, seascapes, landscapes, botanicals, birds, and whatnot. Tide illustrative hand in watercolor, tin and ink, and acrylic paints. And I live in Oklahoma City. Well, hello again. This is Clyde J. Kale, and you are listening to another episode of the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 160 for August the 15th, 2022. And I'm here with my two best artist friends, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Constance. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Constance.
Hey, Clyde. Hi, Diane. Hello, everybody.
Welcome to another outstanding episode of the Artist Friends Podcast. I decided this week we're going to just continue with that back-to-school theme. And for our listeners, if you go to www.talkartpodcast.com, talkartpodcast.com, that's our information page, and you'll see the video links. I think we've got three video links there that are really, really outstanding. We're going to talk more about the craft of being an artist and some things that you should consider as an artist. Things that as an artist, when creating your artwork, you should consider. One of the videos from the virtual instructor, he talks about composition. And when I read these things off, as a young artist, you're going to, it will probably make you paranoid if you haven't think of these things. He lists in a composition category that you should think about when creating your art. You should think about your focal points. You should think about the principles of design, movement, rhythm, harmony, unity, and emphasis and variety. Should think about positive and negative space, and you should consider planning. A rule of thirds, static or dynamic, and diagonals, and finally, odd numbers. And we're going to talk about some of this between Diane, Constance, and myself, and I'll confess, I didn't know these things existed some 6 years ago, because I never went to art school. So I never studied these things, but over the years in pursuing this art career, I have, I used to be very proud and say I was self-taught. I guess I can still say that because I've been teaching myself through, various instructional videos that I've found on YouTube and actual, courses where these things are covered. And I remember the very first time when I watched a video of Stefan Bauman talking about eye magnets. And I said, what in the heck? That comes into this planning and everything. So Diane, do you follow all these principles?
Well, when I was in college, I had a whole semester on just composition. So I am very familiar with all the different kinds there are. I don't know about all of them, but we covered a lot of them. There's probably more than whatever we covered, but I think at this point, I mean, I know a lot of this stuff, but I do it kind of automatically. I don't even think about it a lot. Because I've been doing it for so long, I think it just kind of happens. I'm just in my head, I guess. I just kind of figure it all out.
Yeah, second nature after a while.
Yeah, it's second nature. So I don't really think about it as much now. That comes in time. I mean, Stefan Bauman was talking about that a little bit too, how when you've been painting for a while, you know, like all these different things that you should have in your paintings, but you forget about them. And sometimes you do forget totally about them, and you're like, oh, I should have put a focal point in my painting. I didn't do it. So I think it's kind of, it is second nature, but at the same time, you have to kind of double check yourself sometimes, make sure you're covering some of the things.
Yeah, you have to step back because you may be really getting into the flow of enjoying the color, enjoying the pushing around the paint, and you got your brush strokes going right and everything, and your painting, it just so satisfying. And then you stop, you take a break or whatever, or you come back to it a day later and say, there's something wrong. Something's not right. Ooh, I don't have a focal point.
There's no star of the show, is like Kelly used to say.
That's what Kelly used to call it, star of the show. Yeah. Or, oh, I don't have the right temperature, between the two different colors there. There should be a little bit different temperature there, And that's for me. Like I said, I know now what these things are, so I have no excuse. But when I, 6 years ago, it's hard to believe it's been 6 years now that I've been, been doing, since I announced I was going to pursue an art career. When I started out, every once in a while, a piece of artwork would just come out perfect, but most of it was crap. I remember Stefan Bauman talking about this in one of his videos. Even if you don't learn all these principles, you will intuitively, you're come across it and you'll have success, but you don't know why that particular piece of artwork is more successful than the next one or the one before. Yeah. And it's because you have hit all these points without realizing it.
Yeah.
I've done one of my most popular pieces of artwork that I did in, I think it was 2018 when I first painted it, I call it the empty tomb. The Christ tomb, the religious painting. And it is one of my most popular. I've sold the most products with that piece of artwork on, image on them. When I look back at it, it hits all these principles. It hits every single one of them. At that time, I didn't know what these things were. I literally did not know. It was one of those where I just, hey, that looks right. I need to do that this way. I need to put this there. And it all came together. So what I like to, now that I do know these principles, I still mess up. Not every single piece of artwork is, for me, it's a way of stepping back and looking at it, especially when something don't look right. I said, wait a minute, there's something missing here. And then I start going over these principles. So I said, okay, maybe I don't have a good focal point, or maybe I'm not emphasizing the harmony and the unity is not working. And that's your color, combination. Constance, do you have any problems with it? Do you do a perfect painting every time?
No, I don't. I figure maybe one out of every 10 paintings is probably one that I like pretty well. I mean, I finished one the week before last and I looked at it lately and I think it needs a couple of fixes on it. But I mean, so I just I try to set up a still life when I'm setting up a still life with all of those things in mind. And even if you set up those things to be all in mind and a good composition, when you're painting, sometimes you forget, is it dark enough over here? Is it bright enough over here? Because you have to do the whole range of values. And you'll go back and say, think to yourself, well, I didn't hit all of that, you know. So, but some paintings just come out better than others, but when you're done, you know. So even if you're doing everything you're supposed to do composition, you may screw up something or another in the painting. Sometimes I do that. I get frustrated with my painting because I'll forget to do something exactly the way I like it.
There's certain distractions. And an example, a painting that I did recently, I guess about a couple of weeks ago, I call it, Nevermore. And it was one of the paintings I wanted to set up where I filmed, you know, the time-lapse video. And I filmed myself while I was painting it because I wanted to show, you know, it was a little 8x10, the start to finish, you know, process. Well, it's a really good painting, except for composition wise, the placement is not correct. Because if you look at it, I don't have, everything is too close to the bottom. I'm not utilizing the rule of thirds like I should. And I know I started out, but I was more focused on watching the video camera was staying on and not bumping the video camera. And that's my excuse I'm going to use here for that.
It is hard to do all that when you, especially when you're first learning how to video yourself. Because you're thinking about that instead of thinking about what you're doing as far as painting. And it does mess you up some.
I haven't gone down that road yet.
And what I'm finding myself is I'm looking back at a lot of my previous, artwork. And of course we all do this, we've got really, oh my God, that's just crap. I don't believe I did. I have some really paintings that you like and that you think is successful. But then when you apply the composition rules to it, says, wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. That's why that looks kind of off, And so it's given me, and in fact, I'm revisiting previous subjects and redoing, I'm planning on that painting that, what I call Nevermore, that little 8x10, I'm going to do a 16x20 here in the next week or so. I'm going to start, but everything that which I messed up or didn't follow in the small one, I'm going to, and I'm not going to film it either. I'm just going to work on it. So I concentrate on the painting and apply the rules. So it's kind of like when you get more education, you start, thinking about, and I've never really wanted to redo a painting other than take a painting and then actually apply paint and change it. No, once it's dried, that's it. It's over with. I may do it again in a different format, the same subject, but the painting that which I've, already completed, I don't like to go back and touch it up or whatever. How about you, Diane? You ever redo any paintings or just let them go?
Yeah, I'm pretty much on that field too. I don't usually go back and touch them up unless it's been within a week or something.
Yeah.
But if it's been a long period of time, I don't usually do that. I'll just let it go and do it again or, pick another. I might do the same subject and do it in a different composition or do it differently, but I don't even like to do the same painting over and over, like the same, setup. I'm very, it's boring to me to just keep painting the same thing over and over. So I usually try to change things up. I might paint the same subject or the same object more than once, but I usually change the composition or change, the whole structure of the painting.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple of apps I have them on my phone, and I forget they're there and don't use them. But I need to start using them again. It's like one is called Wise Camera, and the other one is Wise Photos, and it takes all of those different things he's talking about in here on this one particular video that we watched, and you can open it up and put it on your setup or where you're going to paint at, and look out from there to see if everything is where you want it, or if you're going to have to move something to suit yourself in the painting. I'm kind of like, a lot of artists don't put trees in or leave things out. I have never thought about doing that to make the composition work, but it's been so hot, I don't go outside and paint. I paint in the studio with still lifes and stuff. So
I like very in his discussion when he talks about, when he explains the rule of third, and he actually put lines on the video itself. He says, as you can see with this video, we are applying a rule of thirds. And as you see, I'm located at, my face is located right at the crosshairs where it's supposed to be. I thought that, one of the best explanations ever. I mean, he described it, and at the same time, you saw what he was talking about.
Well, most of the time when I start a painting, I will make a grisaille on the painting before I start putting in color, and put all the, I use the rule of thirds, and I'll even put an X mark in there, and this way, and then an X mark, a plus mark, and an X mark, and then the rule of thirds is on there. That way I can do my placement of my objects in my still life so that they will be, things won't be too close to the edge or too close to the top or too close to the bottom. And most of the time that works. And every once in a while, think that you're doing still life, sometimes the things just grow. when you're trying, you have to carve in on the subject, and then you go back and fix
the edge.
That's
where that negative and positive images will help you do that. Mm-hmm. Like how to place, where to place it on the canvas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that helps you do that.
That's like when that picture, that painting that I was, that I filmed, all the objects, they grew larger than what they were supposed to be.
Yeah. You have to watch it when you're doing that, because they will grow.
As a result, there wasn't much table bottom. There should have been more of a table, at the bottom than what, would make the, composition wise, they were all placed, he recommends the odd numbers, he says, 3, 5, or 7, or 9, objects is, and said so just 1 or 2 is boring. So that's why he said put 3, whatever. So I had all the nice, proper number of objects, and I had the temperatures and the colors, right and everything. But when I got done, I got looking at it, I said, wait a minute, it wasn't supposed to be that big. These items weren't that big. Weren't as, if they were smaller, it would be perfect. I'd have, at the bottom, I'd have enough, enough table space at the bottom, but they grew. And
yeah, I mean, it's like I did finish this one painting this week. It was called 3 Red Peppers, and it's 3 red bell peppers by 10 by 20. And then I was reading or doing something in another book and reading stuff that they were talking about composition. And it said, you should never make your items as large as life in your paintings. And I looked at the painting and went, I guess I screwed that one up, because they are the same thing as, but I like the painting, so it's okay.
And that's what this is all about. Like Kelly Folsom always says, getting brush mileage, because as you paint enough, a lot of these things, become intuitive, and you just do it without even thinking about it. And as it's good to know these things and have these in the back of your mind, but they can also, if you're not careful, they can make you paranoid. And especially if you're just starting out and you learn about all these things, and you sit there and you think about it, and you say, oh my God, I'll never be able to, get it right. And then
you learn everything.
You just don't start. Then you just don't paint, period. You just sit back and you worry about it. They make you paranoid. No, there's no sense in that.
It's trial and error.
That's it. Just jump in and do it. And like Stefan Bauman is famous for saying, each painting is practice for the next painting.
Yeah, that is.
And he does a really good discussion too. We've got his podcast where he is talking to one of his students, and he talks about, he brought up that story of Diane mentioned of one of his artists who has been with him for a while, that he actually would trust her to if he couldn't make his workshop session. She would run the workshop. And said one time they were critiquing the paintings, and he's got his 12 keys, but there's four keys that he really emphasizes, you know, the most. And he was critiquing, and her painting is all nice and everything. And then he said, I think her name was Victoria or something like that. And he says, what's missing? And she stood there and she scratched her head. Oh, I have a focal point. Where, you know, you just kind of, no matter how many years you've been painting or how experienced or how educated you are, you forget, you make mistakes, you know, and that's part of the love of painting, because not every painting is going to be a masterpiece. Yeah. You know? But then again, if we make mistakes, we usually learn from them. We remember it the next time. Do you agree with that?
For about 10 paintings or so, and then you forget about it again. It's a cycle. It, like, you know, sometimes composition's like really important to you, and other times your edges or something are important to you. And it's like, you know, it kind of goes through different stages. You just depends on what you're painting and how you're feeling about it, I guess.
Are you getting... You get that color wheel out, and boy, you make sure you've got complementary colors, you know, and everything. And then five
values. And there's a lot of things to think about, you know.
All your values is right, and you've got your, you know, shading. And then five paintings later, it just all, you don't apply any of it.
You go, oh, I want to paint this. You paint it. And go, oops, it's not working.
I used to hear, we watched quite a bit of Stephen Bauman's, you know, videos, and, he would always say, and it took me a little while to really get to sink in. He would always, and he's, when you watch enough of these guys, they say the same stick over and over again, but they say it differently, you know, but then it makes sense why they repeat it. And he always says, we don't paint things. We don't paint apples. We don't paint toilet papers. We don't paint seascapes. We don't paint, you know, landscape, we trees, we don't paint things. And he would keep saying, I said, what the heck is he talking? Then in one of his videos, he's talking about the light and shadows. That's what you paint. You paint the light and the shadows and the values and the temperature. And that's when all these
shapes come.
Yes.
Lost and found edges.
Yes. You know, and all these things come into play then. Yeah, you know, but it may have to be told to you 5,000 times before it finally sinks in. And then, and also for our listeners, we talk a lot about Stephen Bauman and Kelly Folsom and some of these other instructors. And they may not be good for you, because for some reason you may not be able to identify with them or connect with them and understand what they're saying. That's the advantage of the internet. And YouTube, there is lots and lots of video instructors and sources where you can learn from. Like in the third video was our two gentlemen, Provoco and Marshall, and they're talking about some artists to learn from and some artists not to learn from. Some you may want to study with this particular master artist who is just, you love his work and everything, you want to paint like, but then when you watch enough of the videos, or if you are fortunate to study with them in person, you don't really learn much, because they're an outstanding in their craft and art, but they're not a very good teacher. On the other hand, you may encounter some of these artists who are excellent teachers, but they're not any better than you. So you've got to find what you know what you're looking for. Like one of them that they had mentioned, a name Steve Houston, and we've watched some videos of him, and he is he's an excellent teacher. He's also an excellent artist too. So and all these folks are, you know, they have videos on YouTube, some of them for free, some of them they have courses. Some courses are very expensive. It just depends on what skill level you're at and what you're looking and how you want to improve. Far better than what it was 25, 30 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot better. Well, the thing is, too, I mean, there's so many artists on, yeah, and some of them are better teachers than others, but sometimes you learn things from one person, and they could be saying pretty much the exact same, they're trying to teach you the exact same thing as somebody else, but they say it in a way that finally clicks with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you hear something over and over, like you were just saying about the things that Stephen Bowman was saying. And it took you a while before it finally sunk in, or it finally made sense to you. So I think, you know, a lot of the times you hear things and it doesn't make sense, or you don't really understand what they're talking about. But the more you listen to all the different teachers and things, it does, you know, eventually sink Quit. In somehow. It does finally make sense. And you're like, oh, that's what they were trying to tell us.
Yeah.
You know, so it's.
And what I try to do here in our, you know, purpose of our podcast is I try to curate, as I say, you know, curate all of the various art related videos that are on YouTube. And there are literally thousands and thousands, and try to, you know, pick the best one for each week best in my opinion. They may not be best in your opinion, but, you know, that support our theme for what we're, you know, talking about. And some of them are really, really good, and others are so-and-so. And, you know, I just didn't have as much time to go through and look at a bunch of them. But you can get an education right here. In fact, now that we're up to episode 160, and we have from almost the beginning, I don't think we had that page when we started out. I think we did that when we reached like episode 50 or something. I started that page up, but you can scroll through all of the past, you know, just scroll down, you know, that page, and there is a lot of information. I was looking at it the other day. I said, we've got a whole complete artist course, training course, from marketing to art history to art craft. I mean, I was looking.
Well, it's kind of good to be able to listen to somebody else and see what works for us. And you can take and leave whatever you need at the time from what we're talking about. Especially, you know, if you're starting out new, you know, maybe you're not ready to take certain classes, you know, because you want to just get a feel to see if you want to do it. You know, but where to go to find different products that you need, you know, and different books or artists that you can learn from. But that's pretty much why we've been doing these, just to kind of give people a place to search for different stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm very proud of what we've done. We've got a few shows that somewhat stinkers, but for the most part, I think we've provided a great deal of information. I really hope that our listeners and new listeners will take advantage and just, you know, scroll through those pages, because I'm going to leave them up, but just keeps growing. You know, every week new ones get thrown up there. So with that, Diane and Constance, you want to add anything else to our discussion? Or?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Okay, we will wrap up this episode of the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 160 for August the 15th, 2022. And I'm going to say goodnight to Diane and Constance.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Constance. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Diane. Good night, y'all. And thanks for listening.
Again, thank you so much for listening. And please, I encourage you to visit www.talkartpodcast.com. talkartpodcast.com. That's for this week's information. And scroll through those pages. You might find something really, really interesting that you need. At least I hope so. That's what we try to do. We'll see you next week. Bye, folks. The Artist Friends Podcast is produced and edited by Clyde J. Kale. Participating artists, Diane Hunt, Constance Bronson, and Clyde J. Kim. You can find more information about Diane Hunt at www.dianehuntstudio.com. Constance Bronson at www.edsy.com. www.clydejkill.com/shop/CBROSNANS. Clyde J. Kill at www.cjkillartworks.com. If you would like to participate or appear as a guest on the Artist Friends podcast, please email cjkill@mystery-otr.com. If you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a thumbs up or a star rating. And most of all, send us your comments. This podcast is issued under the Creative Commons license.